I'm Celine Williams, and welcome to the Leading Through Crisis podcast, a conversation series exploring resiliency and leadership in challenging times.
My guest today is John Robertson, who acts as a facilitator and guide as a workforce wellness and cultural alignment specialist, working with progressive leadership to transform their traditional crisis response through the values-anchored Run Towards the Roar ethos. Welcome, John.
Hi. Thank you so much for allowing me to be part of supporting you and your audience. This is great. I look forward to our conversation.
As do I. And I love that already, you know, in your bio, you have the word crisis, which is always exciting for me because I know there's going to be a lot of alignment here. So
it's like anything, right, Celine? There's two responses to crisis: run towards it or the fear-based reaction. So those of us who run towards it automatically have a natural affinity. So I was looking forward to this meeting as well.
It's easy to avoid the topic and run away from it, right? I think a lot of people naturally do that. So when it's part and parcel and upfront, I agree with you. There's often you're like, oh, these are my people who are looking at this head on. So I'm excited about this.
And don't forget, because crisis is never really the event, or the event is never really the crisis, change can actually be a crisis for some.
So I love that you went there, because I was going to ask the question I always start with, which is, you know, what does leading through crisis mean to you? And it sounds like, you know, part and parcel of that is this idea that change, that crisis isn't one single definition.
No. And so, first of all, the event is never the real crisis, or the crisis is never the event. But the second part of it that I call hot water teabag effect is leadership's whole approach through crisis or change is entirely different than any other form of leadership. And the hot water teabag effect is, if we ever want to find out what's important to a person or an organization, put them in hot water. Just like a tea bag, what's inside always leaks out.
I love that analogy. I have not heard that, and I think it is brilliant, because I do a lot of work with culture. And, you know, the thing that I always say to organizations is, your culture is not what's happening when things are going well. It is. But that's not the test of your culture. It's really easy to be like, we are in alignment with our values and everything works really well, and people are performing at their best when things are easy and they're going well. But you really see your culture when, you know, shit hits the fan, for lack of a better way of putting it. That's when you see what is really happening, how people really behave, how your values are actually in action. That's the test of it. And it's the analogy of the hot water tea bag is exactly it.
And I'm not a tea drinker, though I've learned to become one. What do they call that? It's an acquired taste. It's not a natural taste. But that said, one of the things that happens with tea bags is it's called steeping. And the longer an organization refuses to deal with crisis change, the longer the tea bag steeps, and the values that are not on the website but the ones that everybody operates by leak out, and it permeates through the entire organization. And ironically, it flavors just like tea. It flavors everything, but very few will tell the leadership what the flavor is. And go ahead.
No,
I was just rambling.
No, you were not. So,
and one of the things with leadership that's key, and I use this over and over and over, if I believe I'm a leader, look behind. If nobody's following, I'm just taking a walk. And one of the things that happens through crisis and change is, and I love what, what's his name? Managing Through Transition, William Bridges. I love how he describes, he uses Moses leading the people out of Egypt through the to the promised land, but through the wilderness, through the desert. And he said, the key of leadership is MBWA. Moses been walking around. And Moses visited the family campfires. And one of the things that happens through change or crisis, people have to see you, me, the leader walking around. If, and that doesn't mean like, if, okay, yeah, I'm touching in on you, Celine. How are you doing? And checking the watch and checking the count. Everybody knows you got a full schedule. Everybody knows we're busy. But if I don't know that you care, you can forget about me caring because it's not going to happen. And that happens by the water cooler, coffee pot conversations to say, let me illustrate a perfect. So I was doing some work with an organization and their leader, she ghost, the expression in everyday language is she ghosted me. And it was like, this is really weird. That's not like her. And I'm going to call her Suzanne. It's not her name, but Suzanne ghosted me. And so I texted her, I called her, I emailed her, never heard a word. And then I called her colleague. Nothing was said. Then I called her supervisor, so the big boss, manager, whatever the title is. And I said, listen, I am not calling because bills or consulting or any of that stuff. It's not like Suzanne not to reply. What's going on? Well, she's off on sick leave. Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. So I left it for a couple, 3 weeks, and I touched in on this leader and I said, so just checking in. And she called me within, I'm going to say, 5 minutes. Wow, John, I cannot believe you emailed me. Why? What did I do? No, I'm sure you've heard. No, I haven't talked to anybody. Heard what? She said, Suzanne just died on Saturday. She was off on sick leave for cancer. I said, I never heard a word. I said, wow, you guys have to be spinning because your work, you can't, your staff can't get time off to go to the funeral because they do childcare stuff as well. And she said, no, we can't. And actually, that's starting to create an anger. Do you hear the evolution of crisis? Sick leave, nobody talks. Like if you break a leg, Celine, people are all over you. How are you doing? Can I drop off a meal? Yada, yada. If I say sick leave, it's like I catch leprosy. And it doesn't mean we're talking work, but we are talking care. And I said, you know what? Let the staff know I have to be driving by. It's 2 hours out of my way, but let me know because I can swing by, stop in to see their workplace at the end of day Thursday. Let you and I have a follow-up call Friday and offer a virtual meeting Friday, end of day. Because if they go into the weekend and nobody's supporting them, they're going to come back to work Monday angry. And right now, it's not the time to try and be hiring staff. Nobody's available. And my grandma's expression was, what we are speaks so loudly, people don't hear what we're saying.
I like that.
And well, it's grandma's wisdom, and no grandchild in their right mind would disagree with grandma. And so what's happening? And because the event is never the real crisis, one of the things that leaders have to do is we have to change it from what I call accountability discussions, productivity, performance, policy, procedures, the P culture and paperwork, and make it around a values anchored culture, which is the run toward the roar ethos. So, do I want people to like me? Or do I want people to trust me? Because there will be a choice in there at some point. And let me turn the tables. If you were working with an organization that did not know you, that they said, so who is this Ms. Williams? And I don't even know what the proper preface is anymore, but whatever is, how would you like people to think of you non-physically? Any thoughts? Any initial gut reactions?
Oh, what I would want people to think of me. And I'm assuming in a, I mean, I don't know that it's that, I was gonna say in a professional setting, and I was like, I don't actually know that it's that different in a non-professional setting, to be
It's
totally
not.
fair. I
And
know.
you're picking up on, you're stealing one of my bolts of thunder.
Oh,
You're absolutely,
sorry.
and that's what, no, not at all. Not at all. Because I think it was John Maxwell, but somebody once said, there's no such thing as business ethics. Me at the soccer pitch, me at the hockey rink, me at church, me at work, me at the restaurant, doesn't matter. It better be the same reflection of the person. So I'm giving your brain time now to think about. How would you respond to that?
I mean, I think I would want people to, you know, what you said about being trustworthy, I think I want people to feel to be comfortable with me and think this is someone who is open-minded and I can speak to, and this is a safe space. That's always really important. That for me, I would like them to think that I am direct and mean what I say, and there's no manipulate. I'm gonna use the word manipulation. That's an extreme word, but there's no manipulation or anything behind it that I'll say what I mean. That I know what I'm talking about. That one's questionable most of the time, but I would like people to think that I know what I'm talking
Okay, well,
about.
yeah, if you can't dazzle them with brilliance.
And that, you know, I hate the word nice, so I would use the word kind, that I care about people and am kind in my approach. So I'm not a, I could go on about why I hate the term nice and why I think it's problematic, but I think kindness and starting with kindness and compassion is really important. So I, you know.
And so what you're picking up on is a key word, compassion. Because there was a song, and I'm dating myself now, which some might say is the only way I get a date, but there was an old song by Nick Lowe that said, cruel to be kind in the right measure. And what you've perfectly described is we get caught in being nice, but we're not actually being compassionate. We're emphasizing sympathy, which is really pity, and we're not growing empathy, which is compassion. And the run toward the roar ethos is passion based. So the two current terms out of that ethos is passio fidelis. Passio is the root word of passion. It's the fire in the bones. It's something we want so much it hurts. Fidelis is the root word of fidelity, of faithfulness, of loyalty. When you and I define what we are for, not what we're against, which tends to be the society culture right now. I don't like this. I don't like that. I didn't ask you that. What are you for? You just answered some of yours, you know, that speaks your mind, that is trustable, but credible, is some of those qualities. And one of the things that happens when we are faithful or loyal or fidelis with passion is people will know that, yeah, you may not want to cross that line with Celine because she may not take that really well. That's going to force her to swallow one of her values. And you being direct and some of those other qualities won't just pretend. Oh, no big deal. It will be, yeah, Houston, we've got a problem. And when we talk about passio fidelis, if you are playing a game that you love and you get injured, you will find a way to get back in the game. If you are playing a game you don't enjoy, any injury takes us out. It's the perfect excuse. Well, I injured my knee, I'm out. Guess what's happening in work? If I'm not passio fidelis, if I'm not loving what I do, any injury will take me out. And there's a woman that I know I've done some work with. She is working it right now in a culture that is not healthy, not positive, not constructive. And yet, when I say, so why don't you just look at leaving? Oh, I just love the people I work with. And, you know, we share the same work ethic. We share the same values. No, we're unified in how we deal with dumb all around us. But we are all on the same page, and I love that. There you go. And so to your listeners, it would be that, okay, does the leader take the time to say, so what's really going on for you? And we're not talking about joining hands, singing kumbaya. But when we add the prefix, which means with, com, COM, when we add the prefix with, com, passion, we actually get people who say, wow, Slynn actually stopped at the water cooler. And last week, you mentioned you were doing a hockey tryouts. How did that go for your child? And it doesn't take anything. Use your calendar to make a note to say, John's kid trying out for soccer Tuesday night. It gives you something to follow up. And that leaks out in hot water. It's called trust.
It's okay. I have a few questions, and I love that you just said trust, because one of the things that you said earlier was that at some point there's a choice between like me or trust me. And I'm curious if you can explain. And I'm curious if you can explain what you mean by that, because I do think that a lot of, not even leaders, human beings on this planet think that if someone likes me, they're automatically going to trust me. And it's more important that I am likable and palatable than anything else. And
Okay, let me
it's,
jump right in, because you know who
yeah.
does this worst is Canadians. Because when I do training with Canadians, when they say sorry, I will do that. Are you really sorry? Or are you just saying sorry because you're Canadian? Well, you're right. I'm not sorry. Then why are you saying it? So when we talk about it, look at what we're apologizing for. We live right now in a time, some people call it cancel culture. I don't care what you call it, potato picking culture for all I care. But we live in a time right now where people are all telling us what they don't like, what they don't agree with, what they're against, on and on and on. If we're going to build a workplace where people want to work and leaders that are trustable, followable and respectable, then we have to define what we are for. And that will automatically impact niceness. Like if I'm not literally, but if you are for European soccer, football, by Freudian on that, if you are for European football, but I'm for North American football, Canadian or American, we can have a great discussion about being teams, but we're not going to be able to play on the same field at the same time. And having that discussion around what does it mean for here? Why should somebody want to work here? One of the questions I've, when I do coaching around this kind of thing, I get them when you have the opportunity to ask your questions, ask them. Apart from money, why would someone want to work here? And even personalities who are so accommodating, what you and I were just chatting about, nice, love the look on their face. And they always do the, wow, that's a great question. And okay, your final answer. And so what does it mean to be trust? It means transparency. It's that sharing success. It's that truth telling, which is where the niceness runs into problems. You know, which is more loving? And this is the key for me. Look back to the term of love. Which is more loving? If you and I have been friends for 20 years and I know that your pattern of behavior is taking you down a toilet bowl flush, which is more loving? For me to pat you on the back and say, well, she needs to learn, she will learn, or for me to run the risk and saying, hey, just want to make an observation. You may not like me, but I'm just saying what I'm seeing. Is that what you want me to see?
Yep.
And what do you call it? Parenting. And some people say that today's workplace is kind of like parenting sometimes.
Yeah.
Because that's what it means to care.
That's really interesting that workplace is like parenting. I can absolutely see that. And I think the place that I see this a lot coming up, and I love that you brought up the word love inside of this, is in terms of people, I'm going to call it giving feedback, feed forward, whatever you want to call it, where we avoid the conversation, or leaders avoid the conversation, because they don't want to, you know, and it's not only leaders, everyone avoids giving any kind of feedback because they don't want to. Canadians probably more than anyone. They don't want to be mean. They don't want to hurt someone's feelings. They don't want to, you know, whatever they don't want to be the bad guy in the situation, whatever the scenario is. And I have spoken about this ad nauseum, which is, in my opinion, if you care about someone and you are giving this information for them to be their best self, this is not about you saying, I would do it differently because I like things done differently. That's not feedback. That doesn't matter.
That's not feedback.
Toss that. No. But if you're looking at someone and going, this is not, they're not having the impact that they think they're having, and this is not them being their best self, and you want to give them that feedback, you avoiding it is not you loving and caring for them. It's only you protecting yourself. And that is, to me, where we get stuck in the, it's an example of where we get stuck in the, it's more important to be nice than to do something that actually increases trust.
And what we're actually saying is the value of nice is higher or greater than the value of trust. They're both values.
Yeah.
And so the way that I illustrate that is when we're giving feedback around growing trust and credibility, is picture a rock in the pond. The rock into the pond is the relationship, because every interaction creates a ripple. That moment of relationship impacts beliefs and thoughts. So if you meet me and say, holy smokes, Robertson is all about him, immediate belief and thought. Or that supervisor, well, it's all about him or her. Immediate belief and thought. Therefore, that person's values, which is the next ripple, will be seen through that previous ripple of beliefs and thoughts. So if you're my supervisor and I believe you're out to get me, my values will reflect that my supervisor is out to get me. The final ripple is behavior, because our behaviors always reflect our values, always. If I value money, I'm the easiest person in the world to negotiate with. If I value nice, then you can see what my behavior is going to be. When we give observation, aka feedback, it has to be on the behavior, and then ask, can you help me to understand where that's coming from, why that's important for you? Basically, ask about the values, the beliefs, and thoughts. And that strengthens the relationship.
Yes, I think it's, I appreciate the way you frame that as the beliefs and thoughts, values, and behavior. Because, you know, I see this a lot. This very common in corporate culture, which is when we're giving feedback or making observations, we assume the values or the beliefs and thoughts behind it, and we feed that into even what we'll tell people about themselves without acknowledging it. And I think there is a really, it's an important difference to even say, I you know, to acknowledge an assumption, right? Like, here's the behavior. I assume that your intentions were, if you acknowledge it, even acknowledging that it's an assumption is a big difference between speaking, between that and speaking as though It's a given fact, which is the thing that so many of us do is we just, this is the truth because I think it's the truth.
Absolutely. And you know, the irony, and tragic irony, is appreciation works the exact same way.
Absolutely.
If we catch somebody doing something of value without blowing sunshine and kissing rings on fingers and all the other garbage that goes with it, but just saying, hey, really want to thank you for that help of that report. Awesome. And then leave because they'll blow it off.
I appreciate this conversation around trust, and thank you for kind of playing with me inside of that because I think that there's a lot of confusion between liking and trusting. But I do want to ask, I'm going to kind of pivot a little bit because you've mentioned run towards the roar a couple of times, and I am curious if you can explain what that is a little bit because it's clearly.
100%.
Thank you.
Let me, no, it's because that tends to be my passio
Yep.
fidelis. So when a lion ages, he loses his muscle tone, teeth deteriorate, everything else. And the way a lion keeps his pride is his roar. And when a lion hunts, he'll go to one side of a herd of antelope. The pride will go to the other. Animal instinct, when they hear a roar, is fight, flight, freeze, appease. So majority of the antelope will run away from the roar, flight, and therefore run into the hunting party. Humans are the only ones that we can train to run toward the roar. And a roar can be fear. A roar can be crisis. A roar can be change. A roar can be cancer. A roar can be job loss. A roar, any number of things, promotion. And if we do not determine what our values are, when the roar happens, we will react like a normal human being. Fight, flight, freeze, appease. Majority of us will flight. Or freeze. And so when we talk about run toward the roar, what is our focus? What does success mean? Because the one with the most toys is a lie. Because wins what? Hearses don't have luggage racks, and where there's a will, there's relatives. So if the one with the most toys wins, wins what? So what does success mean? And for mine, I want people to be at my funeral. For more than my will. There's not going to be enough to worry about being at my will. But I want people to be there because you know what? John invested in me even when I thought he was a jerk. And the second part of that is, what are my values to accomplish that success? And if I don't know what I'm running towards, if I don't know what I'm going to be passio fidelis, then what ends up happening, currents, winds, think about all the factors in our society, trends, all the other things that keep popping up. They will knock us off our course and we'll end up steering by a compass that's got a magnet right beside it, and we're just spinning, always reacting.
It's that's a the metaphor of metaphor. I don't know that's technically a metaphor as I say that out loud of run towards the roar, the story. Maybe it's
I'm
not a
not an English
metaphor.
major. We're more gooder. Keep going.
Honestly, I think that's a really valuable visual, I think, for people to have in mind because it helps kind of cement it. And I appreciate that because that's when you said that I was like, oh, that I can definitely picture that, and that's super valuable. And I want to ask this question because you said that, you know, humans are the one species, let's call it, that you can train to run towards the roar. And, you know, knowing your values obviously is a piece of that, and knowing what you stand for, what matters to you. But is there anything else that and recognizing this is going to be kind of quick and dirty, that is important to know or be mindful of, or something in leaning into running towards the roar, whether it's, if I'm like, I want to do more of that. I want to run towards the, I don't want to be in, flight or freeze or, I want to be able to face that. What can I do? What are some of the things that I should be aware of or I can do to start that process?
First of all, and this sounds really self, whatever the term is, patting myself on the back, but that's the premise behind the book. So people can get a copy of the book, contact me, not a problem. But the second part of that is, who are the people you want in your boat rowing in the same direction? Because if we don't choose the rowers, it's like driving a vehicle that's out of alignment. Leaders cannot let go of the steering wheel because the organization will be into oncoming traffic or into the ditch. And Jim Collins, in his Good to Great, said getting the right people on the bus. My analogy is, and yes, it's from a lion in the Sahara to a rowboat, but getting the right people in the boat rowing in alignment. And that means choose wisely. Don't ask for volunteers. Nowhere do we see evidence that asking for volunteers is the best approach. Pick. But the second part of that is we need coaches, we need mentors, we need consultants, we need counselors, because we all have past or baggage that can give us a Charlie horse to hinder us from moving forward. And that's the premise behind the book of Run Toward the Roar, because it's walking through those pieces. And it doesn't mean they're with us forever, but they can help us get out of an eddy or get off of that sandbar or whatever.
So before we, I'm going to ask, we'll wrap this and say where people can get the book and all of that good stuff. But before we do that, is there anything that we didn't get to that you wanted to bring up or something that we talked about that you want to make sure you emphasized?
Well, there's a whole bunch of things because this is kind of a, like you said, get dirty quick
Yeah,
kind of
quick and
thing.
dirty.
But quick and dirty. I knew I wasn't ringing right, but quick and dirty. And one of the things that happens is, and this is, and I'm not talking about COVID, I'm talking about the impact. Because now we've gone from COVID to interest rates to recession talks to all the other things. Those trigger that fear button roar. And the crisis is never over until the reactions subside. And as long as these fear triggers, these roars keep happening, then leadership cannot get ready to jump into performance discussions if people are not aware that, yeah, you know what? Sucks to be normal human, have a normal fear reaction. However, we can run toward the roar and let's get back in the boat and let's grow.
I love that. And I also love what you said around crisis is never over until the reactions subside. I think that's we like the illusion that, oh, well, it's this specific thing is done. Therefore, nothing else to deal with. And that's, I
So
think,
wrong and so wrong. We've done 2.5 years, and we're going to be at least till Christmas before reactions really start bubbling out. Because I was, everybody during COVID was head down, get through it. Now there was the illusion that when things go back to normal, yeah, that ship sailed. We're not going back to norm. We have to define it.
Yes, and one of the things that I know I've been saying to people is that normal is an illusion. It was always an illusion.
Absolutely.
There, everyone's normal was different. So you can't say go back to normal. And we're just more aware that everyone's normal is different now than we were beforehand. So let's define
100%.
what we're actually looking for. I get really frustrated with the go back to normal. And I know that's not what you're saying, but like that whole thing, leaders, let's stop doing that. This is my PSA. Let's stop
Well,
saying let's go back to normal.
and part of what you put your finger on is how do you go back to something that had values that no longer matter?
Correct.
And that's part of what's happening in the workplace today. People
Absolutely.
had 2.5 years of saying, is this really going to matter in 5 years? Huge shift.
Absolutely. John, it was a pleasure to talk to you. I really appreciate your time. I'm going to ask this question. The Run Towards the Roar available all the bookstores, people can find it. Is there a specific place you want them to go?
Amazon's the easiest,
Okay.
and there's two things. One is runtowardtheroar.online is for the book.
Okay.
My work site and the landing page for this podcast is going to be Fort Log, Fort Safe Place and Frontier. A log is a journal to sail the seas because there's no point going there alone.
Yep.
Fortlog.co because I work with people, not .com, .co. And then /revisionary.
Perfect.
And I'd love to have a conversation with people. I'm not interested in selling widgets. I want to help people thrive. And our leaders are in a golden position today to help themselves, but also their organizations and people thrive. And I'd love to have that conversation. Fortlog.co/revisionary. And most importantly, this has been my pleasure. I really appreciate the work that you do and just the investing in your listeners. And so thank you for allowing me to be part of your work. So thank you.
Thank you. It has been a pleasure, and we'll have all the links in the show notes for the listeners to check out as well. So I appreciate you, John. Thank you very much.
Have a great day. Thank you.
Thanks for joining me today on the Leading Through Crisis podcast. If you enjoyed this conversation, please take a minute to rate and review us on your podcast app. If you're interested in learning more about any of our guests, you can find us online at www.leadingthroughcrisis.ca.